demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Couple of top stories of the day here, presented by Eaton Country Club, Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course. Find out how to become a member today at eatoncc.net. The Broncos are signing wide receiver Josh Reynolds to a two-year deal up to $14 million. Now, Reynolds played, what, 3 years with the Lions? Had a good season last year, 40 catches, 608 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He played half a year for the Titans because he was traded to the Lions in 2021. And then he played for the Rams. His best year was 2020. It was 81 receptions, 618 yards, 2 touchdowns. Again, the move doesn't signal anything other than, hey, we need bodies. We need decent guys. We're going to tank, but we're going to look okay doing it. You know, we don't want to look like bad news bears. What does this mean for Courtland Sutton, though? That's the question. Right now, the receiving room looks like this. Courtland Sutton, number one. Josh Reynolds, number two, or Tim Patrick. And then Marvin Mims Jr. And then, you know, down the depth chart, guy like Brandon Johnson, little Jordan Humphrey, Jalen Virgil, and Philip Dorsett. Let's just be honest. That's not a wide receiver crew. Unless Tim Patrick is able to recover from being out for 2 seasons and he looks a lot like he did 2 years ago. And then Sutton can do more than just catch, you know, 1 or 2 miraculous touchdowns. Which those are great, by the way. It's the old Chris Carter thing, you know? All he does is catch touchdowns. That's kind of what Sutton did. I'm not sure what that means for him, though. Do they try to move on from Sutton? Because this has been the year of cleaning up the mess that George Payton and Russell Wilson, well, not George Payton left behind. He's still in it, but Russell Wilson left behind. But it seems like Sutton wants to be there. Like, there were a lot of weird things when they all had their weird crossed finger emoji on social media when Russ left. And, you know, Jerry Jeudy said something, or maybe it was Patrick who said something along the lines of, you know, we'll see you soon. Maybe he just meant, we'll see you soon. We're going to play you again. Maybe that's what that meant. It's a positive way of looking at it. So Josh Reynolds, that's fine. You know, it's a move that doesn't move the needle for me at this stage. It's not a big move. It's not a no-name. It's just kind of a fine move, but it's a two-year deal, Angel. And what have I been saying about these two-year deals? We're going to sign you to 2 years because you're going to not like what you see next year. It's going to be part of a tank. And then the following year, we're going to make that push. We're going to get our quarterback. We're going to get Dak Prescott, and away we go. Feel like Dak Prescott is a realistic possibility. We talked about it a bit yesterday, but it really started to go crazy on social media.
Yeah, it's strange. We tried to figure out what their contract free agency guaranteed money issue thing is. So I don't know. It sounds like he'll play one more year in Dallas and then he'll be a free agent.
This is it. This is his swan song in Dallas, and then it'll be the Russ thing. I'm getting paid a lot of money to leave or just to be done, so I'll go sign with for the minimum or whatever. So it could be that. Or the Broncos could get aggressive and move up in the draft and go get J.J. McCarthy. I still think that Harbaugh's being interesting about this, Angel. Part of me, and I talked yesterday about, like, okay, what are the possibilities that Harbaugh would ultimately trade Herbert so he could get McCarthy? And I toyed with it yesterday, but here's what he's doing, Angel. I'm an idiot for not seeing it. You know who he wants. He wants to get Marvin Harrison Jr. That's who he wants. So he's out there saying, J.J. McCarthy is the greatest human being in the history of the world. He won a championship with me. We don't do that if without him. Didn't he say he's the best quarterback in this, or did he say he's top two?
Probably something along, he was the best in this class. He's one of the best in the class, and he had the best combine performance of anyone.
I think he's just setting it up. Because, come on, that would be an extreme deal. Harbaugh's already gotten rid of a ton of people.
Well, USA Today put out a mock draft with Williams, of course, at 1, Jaden Daniels at 2, Drake May at 3, and then Minnesota trading up with Arizona to get McCarthy, and then Harrison's right there at 5.
There you go. Harbaugh's setting him up. He's playing chess. He's playing wizard's chess. Harry Potter? Hmm? Okay. I'll show myself out like Cody likes to say.
I got you. I just didn't want to let them know that I knew that reference.
He's playing wizard's chess, and everybody else is playing tic-tac-toe. Like, this is Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh's a genius. He's living in a van down by the river. He's making all these moves. Probably doesn't even have a computer. He's probably writing notes still, and you know, it's just a notebook. You know, this guy knows exactly what he's doing, though. He's playing it off. He's like, hey, I'm just a fun-loving guy. Who has it better than me? Nobody. But really, he's a master manipulator.
How much is it that, or is it just, hey, I coached this kid for a number of years,
it's probably
and I really
that.
Like him?
It's probably some of that. But he could. I'm going to give him credit for it. If Minnesota does move up, and they get JJ, and they get and the Chargers get their receiver, why was it so easy for them to move on from Mike Williams and Case Keenum? Wow, that was a good mix. Why was it so easy for them to do that?
Because they maybe haven't produced as much. They've been kind of injured the last few years.
Keenan's legit, though, right? Isn't he? Would you say he's
but he's older.
Yeah. Well, again, all the more reason to go get the next big thing. And that would be the next big thing. Is that where, if Minnesota moves up, is that where the Chargers are going? Got to be, right? There's no way Marvin Harrison Jr. is dropping out of the top five.
No, he's the best player available at that point.
Yeah. Seems like that's heating up, too, with the Vikings. Angel, this Shohei Ohtani thing is just getting a little stranger, I suppose. Shohei Ohtani's reps declined to say which authorities contacted to report the theft. So we don't know who's reporting on this, that who's actually investigating this.
Like, well, wasn't it the Dodgers meeting with the translator to figure out what was going on, and then
team investigators
lied about it?
Yeah, like what's happening here? Shohei's representatives declined Tuesday to answer ESPN's questions about which authorities they have contacted to report their allegation of theft against Ohtani's former interpreter. They've constantly been at. Well, so Shohei did the whole thing where I'm going to speak to the media yesterday, but he didn't answer any questions. He said, I'm not going to answer questions. He lied. No questions. ESPN, not Shohei lied. His interpreter lied. They've constantly asked the question several times. But it's just a really, really weird story here. So here's the summary, Angel. I wrote it down. Here's the summary. For those of you that are kind of like, what's going on with this Shohei Ohtani thing? And I needed to write it down just for myself. The wire transfers to the interpreter were in Shohei's name. We know that. The translator, Ippi?
Misuhara.
Oh, Misuhara? It's something with an Ippi, too, though. Ippi's also a translator.
I believe that's his first name?
It's Ippi Musahara or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. He told ESPN that Shohei paid off sports betting debt for him. He said, hey, yeah, no, he paid off my debt. Ohtani's PR people told ESPN the same story. Yeah, that's true. We did. Ohtani's PR people then changed the story later that day. It wasn't even the next day. It was later that day. And they said the interpreter was lying. Now Ohtani says, I'm doing a press conference, but I'm not answering any questions. At the press conference, Ohtani says it was all the translator's fault. I don't know anything about this. You tell me what's happening here.
There may be a miscommunication with the language barrier in between original statement and the second statement.
That's realistic. Sure. Maybe he led them to believe through communication that, oh, yeah, I owed him something. Maybe he just thought he owed him something. Who knows, man? There could be a myriad of things that happened here.
Well, ESPN put out an article this morning talking about the relationship between the two and that they were always together. That Misuhara was always with Ohtani.
They grew up together, kind of, right? They're close. So if you were to have a good friend, you know, maybe a good friend would. Yeah, I wish I had friends like this. Why are you $4.5 million?
Was it a vague enough statement to say, yeah, I gave him the money. I don't know what he spent it on, but he's going to tell you he did it to cover his debts. Is that vague enough to not get anyone in trouble?
But then why not just stick with that? Because now, if they're not telling the truth, you're saying that this translator is lying. And you're, I mean, then now we're talking serious stuff there, because that's like, what, defamation of character if you're saying that this man lied about all this? Not to mention, he's out of the league.
What's
He'll
the
never translate
of
for anybody.
Giving the money versus Otani's statement was that they stole the money.
Yeah. But he had access to your account then, right? That's what's crazy to me.
I have good friends, but I don't give them my bank information.
I have never been that good of anyone's friend to give them my bank account information, except for my mom and dad. And we really weren't that close. No, we were. We just weren't like best friends. But they had my bank account information for a while. I don't think there was ever $4.5 million in there. But that's what that one's bizarre to me is the wire transfers were, in fact, in his name. And then the next question is, like, if they're in your name, then you're making it the translator's making it appear as though he's transferring the money to a different account. And he has that kind of access. He has that kind of power. Now, is Shohei Ohtani that trusting, that naive? Because he's saying that the interpreter's lying. Because the interpreter said, I asked Shohei to give me money. And he said, yeah. So that's what this is. And again, his people said, yeah, that happened. And then they thought better of it, I guess. Or there was a miscommunication. And somebody said, no, actually, that's not what happened. You didn't transfer that. So then the interpreter had access to his account. Which the only thing he would be guilty of there is just being a little naive. Like $4.5 million, naive.
Yeah, when this ESPN article talks about how private Ohtani is, that he announced his marriage on Instagram during spring training despite no teammate with the Angels or Dodgers knowing he even had a girlfriend at the time, and he adorned the post with a photograph of his dog. And later on in his negotiation with the Dodgers, his representatives let them know 1 minute in advance before announcing the signing.
So for a guy that's that private, especially to have somebody having the access to allow access to your bank account is just, listen, I want to try to believe in the good in people. I really do. And Shohei Ohtani he sure seems like a good dude. But this is, let me ask the question. If he didn't steal the money, then what would be the reason for lying? Because I'm starting to wonder if he really did steal the money. But so would the reason for lying being, I don't want anybody to know that I did that. That's a lot of money and that's embarrassing. Is that it?
Two of the three statements were that the money was just transferred.
Yeah.
And then you come out and say, no, he's lying. It was stolen. I brought it up yesterday. Does this have anything to do with the culture of his home country and shame and pride and all
of
that?
Sure. I mean, if it were me and I had that kind of money and, you know, Angel came to me and said, I need $4.5 million. I'm in a bad spot. And again, I had the money and I transferred it to you and then it got out to the press. I'd be like, hell yeah, I did. I'm a great guy. That's my guy. Because Angel's my guy. And
well,
he got
I
a
tell
bad
tell you what
beat.
I was using the money for?
Nah, it doesn't matter. It still do
did
it.
Hey,
if
Brady,
I had
I need
the
groceries
money,
and groceries are expensive.
$4.5 million ought to do it. Well, how many trips to Walmart is that, man? I mean, come on. Are you going to one of those like vitamin cottage things? Is that what you're doing? Like
all
natural
organic,
grocers?
All grass-fed food.
Okay, that stuff like Wagyu or whatever. Is that what you're getting? That's a lot, but okay. I'll give it to you, man. Or even if you told me and then it got out to the press and it's like, okay, I guess for me, it's like, yeah, I probably look like a weirdo, but I have like, what is Shohei Ohtani's deal? What is his deal worth?
Like it's $700
million? Yeah, I'm good. 4.5 I can part with. You know, I'm a good friend.
Well,
he's my guy for
it
life.
In a way that he's not getting all of that
I know.
Single year.
He's getting like $2 million a year.
Right.
And he's going to get all of it at the end. That's weird to me. But, you know, this is a weird situation. Flying Dutchman says, did the interpreter bet against Ohtani?
As far as we know, there was no betting on any baseball.
What are we talking about?
Did
here,
it have
though?
To do with sports betting at all? Could it have been any other kind of betting? Like
that could just be like blackjack or something.
Sure.
Horse racing. What other kind of betting?
Horse racing in Serbia.
It's all full circle now. But what are we talking about here? Like, what's the end game here? There's no real, I mean, other than the translator, if they find out that he had access to his account and then he transferred $4.5 million to himself or to the place he needed to cover his debt, then he'll obviously get in trouble for that. But I got to ask, that's why we're going to bring Andy on, because if I gave you access to my account, does that mean that I trust you to make the, am I giving you that ability to pay off things for me? You know, it's a very weird thing. And again, you just wonder if Otani's telling the truth here, man, maybe you got to be careful who you trust. And that's going to be a $4.5 million lesson. 22 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us at the bottom of the hour. It ain't just the Bears, folks. The Buffs are seeing their share of players hit the transfer portal. And you might see it in Fort Collins, too. You might. They don't know who their head coach is going to be next year. Even though there's a 90% chance maybe that it's Nico, you still don't know. So hold on to your butts. 12:22 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Man, we know we live on some crazy roads up here throughout Weld and Larimer County, throughout the whole northern Colorado area. And listen, if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm. Check them out at trialproven.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. We're going to bring Mark Johnson on in a moment. I don't think he can speak on most of the things that I want to ask him because he's the voice of the Buffs and contracts and all that stuff, but Eddie Lampkin has entered the transfer portal, and Javon Hadley has entered the transfer portal as well. So it's happening to everybody, man. Somebody went on Twitter last night, Angel. I don't know if you saw it, but they were asking me if I thought Steve Smiley was on the hot seat and if I thought that what's going on there, there's this mass exodus. It's like, I'm sorry, and I love this guy that's following me. It's great and all this stuff, but dude, wake up. This is happening all. Why would Eddie Lampkin leave? They won a tournament game. They were in the second round. And he, like, revived his college basketball career at CU. At TCU, he was good, but he needed a change of pace, and it was going south for him. So he goes to CU. Why would he leave? Oh, I don't know. He's got the colorful hair, you know, the tips on his hair and just the way his mannerisms, the things he does. You don't think that being on national television as many times as he was and then getting into the NCAA tournament, that didn't open up some kind of an NIL deal for him? Somebody's like, that guy, it's a popular dude. It's kind of a cool guy. People really get into that guy. Students loved him. From what I heard, everybody loved Eddie Lampkin. Very unique character. But it's the name of the game now, man. Javon Hadley. What's he leaving for? It's wild, and you look at UNC and St. Thomas. We knew it was going to happen, Angel. Like, we knew all year. As soon as we started seeing that stat line blow up, it was going to happen. I thought maybe he would stick around because of his story. You know, it's been well documented now that he struggled with mental health issues and getting out and getting back to basketball with UNC really helped him out, and it was a really good thing for him. So I thought maybe he'd stick around because of that. He'd stay in at UNC where it's still low key. I can still go blow it up. I can, you know, help our team try to win the Big Sky Conference, maybe go dancing, and then try the NBA route. But let's, I mean, that's me being an idiot sometimes. That's me being naive. What's going to put him on the map? What he does at UNC, or what Dalton Connect's doing at Tennessee? If, and I'm not saying he can, because you can't just wake up and say, I'm going to go do what Dalton Connect did. I'm going to be at UNC, and then, oh, I'm at Tennessee, and I'm competing for a national championship, and I'm one of the best players in all of college basketball. That's really hard to do. The odds of that happening for Saint are pretty low. But he tore it up against the Buffs. They had no answer for him. Now, the Buffs smoked them, smoked the Bears. I still think the Bears were a better team after they played CU. A couple weeks after, I think that would have been a little better game. I still think the Buffs win. But Saint just tore it up in that game. So you know he can play against that level. So for him, he's going to go somewhere else that makes sense, where he can put his name up there and he can try to do try to emulate what Dalton Connect did, and then your draft stock's going to go up. It's all it takes is a year, man. It's all it takes. And unfortunately, that's what Steve Smiley is competing against.
Yeah, and the Dalton Connect story is a great story, but for the outsider who doesn't pay attention to mid-majors, it's, whoa, it's Tennessee found this guy a diamond in the rough, and they turned him into this. For UNC, it's, that was our best player, and he left us, and no fault to him, but then it puts Coach Smiley in a weird spot where he's got to go get 5-6 transfers.
Yeah, and then you get these tweets that are like, Smiley must not be a good coach. It's like, what? Are you following along, man? Because Steve Smiley could have 5 Michael Jordans on his team. The very next year, they're gone. You know, that's how it is. It's nothing. Smiley could be, you know, Mother Teresa to these kids. And he could promise them all this stuff, and I'm going to be there for you. And, yeah, you play when you want to play. Practice when you want to practice. That's not happening. But he could be that. And he could get the best out of them. But it's UNC. It's CSU. It's even Boulder. They're going to go find these large programs. It's just how it works. I am shocked at Boulder, though. I'm shocked with Javon Hadley, like, and Eddie Lampkin. Like, the Buffs are considered a good program, right?
Yeah, and like for those types of guys that leave Power 5 schools, you're only looking to go up. So you're going to go fill spots at other Power 5 schools. Guys like Saint, he may slip through the cracks and get up to one of them, but the majority of these mid-major kids aren't going directly into Power 5.
Yeah, and that's like, wait, it really bothers me with the lateral movements. But again, they're not lateral if your NIL is higher. So if Boulder doesn't care about NIL for basketball as much, or they just don't have it, then they're going to go somewhere else where they can get NIL money. They're going to go to a school that got ahead of this thing, and they hired their athletic director that isn't really a sports guy, CSU, but he's a business guy, and he loves NIL. Those are the schools now. They have the beacon on them. So when a player goes and says, hey, yeah, that's great that you're a good team and your coach has this resume and you have this following, but what's the NIL situation? You know, our AD's we're just trying to figure that out. See ya. But if it's the other thing, oh, we're well established. We got ahead of that before anybody. We've had it for 3 years now, and let me just tell you, there's a lot of money. All right, where do I sign? That's what's happening right now. And it will continue to. Colleges, if you're not looking at athletic directors with a business background and an NIL buy-in, then you're going to lose, at least while this is legal. 34 after the hour, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, joining us next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Glad you guys could be with us here today, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Excited to, as always, every Wednesday right around this time, we're bringing on the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. And don't worry, Mark, I'm not going to ask you any of the questions you can't answer, okay? I already know there's certain things floating out there that I can't even ask you about.
Well, guys are leaving. I can talk about that.
Can you really? I never know anymore. Okay, so what are your thoughts, man? I mean, I am completely shocked by these two names with Hadley and Lampkin.
Nope, not at all. Knew it was coming.
You did?
No, it was obviously, it was very evident weeks ago that this was going to be the case. You know, here's the thing about it. You got to remember, Brady, you know, because I've gotten a bunch of comments from fans at this point going, what is going on? I'm here. Guess what? This is college athletics now. Get ready. Get used to it.
Yeah.
You got to be accustomed to this. I mean, it's happening everywhere. If you weren't paying attention because you're paying attention to the Buffs in a tournament early into the week, it exploded on Monday of last week. The portal opened up, and it was just going crazy. So this is college athletics. I mean, you need to expect this kind of stuff. I mean, it's just the way it is. This is not shocking. I think Eddie's going to go out and see what kind of a payday he's going to get. I think Javon was probably looking at it saying, well, we got a bunch of young guys coming in. It's kind of a, you know, rebuild since we're losing all these top-level players. And so, you know, maybe I'll go see what I can find out there. So this is not surprising in any way, shape, or form.
So with Eddie, when did you – maybe you can't answer this, Mark, but when did you know? Because it just felt like he had really become a part of this thing. And obviously he had some big games, and it took him a little while to get going with the injury and stuff. But that's kind of why I was shocked. It seemed like he really enjoyed it. And again, that's not based on me having conversations with him. That's just what I saw on television. So you would certainly know that. But you got that vibe.
Yeah, it's based on feelings. Not you know. And so I tell people, listen, I've been saying this for years, okay? And you know, I go out and speak quite a bit and do a lot of preaching kind of thing. And I always tell people, don't base anything on what you see or hear on radio or TV. That's not reality, okay? Did you think, I mean, you know, and I Eddie wasn't going to go, you know, I'm having a good time, but I'm going to be leaving after the end of the season. He was going to act like he was having the time of his life, because he was. And then, but he had other priorities moving forward. I mean, so, you know, just because somebody looks like they're having a great time does not mean it's going to be long-term. And that's the thing we've got to start understanding about this. We've learned it in the NFL and professional sports because of free agency, right? Just because a guy plays for a team and looks like he's having a great time doesn't mean when he becomes a free agent he's not going to test the waters out there. Well, now that's true in college athletics exactly the same way.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've learned to see through it with coaches, right, at both levels. Now we're seeing through it with players. Mark, was Eddie getting, I mean, what was he getting some kind of an NIL deal or anything like that? Because again, the reason the move, this one's weird to me, is just like, see you. I mean, we're talking a pretty high class program, yeah. And obviously Tad Boyle, and they just won a first round game. They won two games in March Madness. So I just look at that and go, okay, every basketball move is more or less lateral. But when it comes to NIL, obviously that changes everything.
There was a great quote years ago with one of the Rockefellers when somebody asked him about how much is enough, and he said just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so let's begin to understand the realities of what we're dealing with here. Virtually all of us, every single human being hearing my voice right now, if somebody called you up and said, I'm going to offer you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more, we'd go, oh, okay. Well, I'm very happy where I am, but, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so that's what's happening right now. Now, Colorado is a phenomenal institution. Tad Boyle's got a great program. Are they on the top end of the – I mean, you're seeing some of the numbers out there. I was told, by the way, over the weekend, but by somebody – you know, I've got roots in Indiana, and I met with some friends of mine who are very tied in with the Purdue program and are telling me that Purdue's trying to get Zach Edey to come back one more year for $5 million.
Wow.
Well, Colorado can't play in that world.
Wow.
Okay? They're not playing in that world. So every guy of note on the Buffs team is getting NIL. That's correct. Now, can they play at the top level? I've been told in the past that the top seven guys at Arizona, every single one's getting a minimum of $600,000.
Minimum. Okay? Minimum. Wow.
That's a minimum. Okay? I had a guy at the NCAA tournament tell me for another school out there that they figured by next year every guy on their top seven or eight would be making $1 million. So that's why I've been telling you for a long time, this can't continue, number one. Number two, Colorado's not going to play and can't play in that level, okay? So if Eddie's sitting there and he's getting something, I don't know what Eddie's getting right now, got this past season, but, you know, he's thinking to himself, okay, is his NBA career a question mark? Yes. Is he going to play in the NBA? That's a huge question mark. There are people who don't think Zach Edey can play in the NBA, okay? So if he looks in and says, I'm not going to get a big-time contract in the NBA, I got to cash in when I can. And so if he figures, you know, when I can go out to and put it on the open market and go to the highest bidder out there and maybe I get $400,000, or maybe I get $1 million or something, depending upon the school. That's what he's looking at right now.
Well, and Mark, in that part, I guess, you know, that makes sense, right? You look at it and go, I'm not going to play. I might not play in the NBA. That's certainly questionable. So I can go out and try to find if I can get to that money. But the problem is the bait that's dangling around all of these. I mean, I made the mistake of following three new transfer portal X accounts yesterday, Mark, and I haven't seen any tweets about anything else. That's all I have. And I don't even know, are the Broncos even going to have a season next year? Because all I'm seeing is transfer portal stuff.
Right, right. No, that's exactly right. And that's what it's become. And again, like I've said, this can't continue. It's impossible for this to continue the way it is. But that's what we're the reality of what we're dealing with right now. And so guys are going to look at that. They're going to say, what market is there for me? Now, I wish that there were people, you know, you'd like to think a mom or a dad inside the ears of some of these guys saying, listen, this isn't the wisest decision, okay? There are things. Yes, you're going to get an immediate influx of cash, and that'll be gone in short order. And then what do you have left, okay? So I don't think this is necessarily the wisdom of this kind of stuff. I saw one, one of the national writers put it out. I'm trying to think. Was it a guy from South Carolina who's a high-level player and is doing doing very well NIL-wise, and he jumped in a portal? And you're like, well, you know, and you'd see that after the basketball or the football season. Guys from Alabama and Ohio State and Texas jumping in a portal. Like, well, what are you doing? I know you're getting a substantial amount of money. You're playing at a very high level. You're playing at one of the highest institutions in the country in that sport, and yet they're still jumping. A lot of what we're seeing is the grass is greener on the other side of the fence type of aspect. That, you know, there's a that it's going to be better over the horizon, right? There's something over there that's going to make me feel better about myself, or whatever it might be. And so a lot of this is I think, an immaturity of just jumping for the sake of jumping.
And Mark, that's interesting on that point, too. And I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about this guy, but Day-Day Reeves, who played for the Bears, he entered the transfer portal last week. And I think, you know, and I'd have interviewed him. He's a great guy, but he had posted something on his Twitter account and said, time for a new city and a new school. And that, to me, Mark, reminded me of an NBA tweet. That reminded me of a player tweeting that it's time for a new city and a new environment, and I have those options now.
And guess what? Dylan Connect is a one in a million, okay? That's not going to happen again on a regular basis.
Right.
Those kind of guys are very unique, and we knew that last year. You knew he was a high-level player. I had a coach in front of mine tell me that he said, we've been keeping tabs the last few years about all the guys who left our program that all moved down. You know, they'd moved down from where they were in a Power 5 school and moved down thinking, okay, now I'm going to be a star. And he said every single guy's averages have stayed almost exactly the same. They really haven't improved their situation. They are what they are. We all know what kind of players these guys are. So, you know, wherever Eddie goes, and God bless him, I wish him well. I enjoy dealing with Eddie. But his averages will be 9 or 10 points, 6-7 rebounds, and a couple of assists per ball game. That's what it's going to be. Now, he'll make some more money in NIL, and because of his style of play, this is not inherently makes him a bad player, but because of his style of play, what the NBA is, he's not going to find a future in the NBA. We don't look for those kind of guys anymore in the NBA. And so you're just kind of making a lateral move, hoping you make a couple of more bucks.
So, Mark, what is this? You know, I know we don't have a lot of answers on this right now, but what's this Buffs team going to look like next year? Because we already kind of knew about a lot of the guys that were going to be gone, and then you get some of these names, and it's going to be a lot of – I mean, does Tad Boyle want to keep doing this, keep rebuilding this thing every single year? Because like you said, if it doesn't change, this is what it's going to be every single year.
Well, there's a good chance of that. Well, he's got a very young, exciting team. I mean, we saw the young talent this year. He's got a highly regarded recruiting class coming in, so there's a lot of very young, talented guys. We knew that Tristan was going to be gone. He'll go to the NBA. We knew that Cody was going to be gone. He's going to go to the NBA. Luke O'Brien's going to, you know, he's got his degree now. He may test the waters and go see if there's someplace else and be one of those, you know, kind of graduate transfers after he gets his degree, and that's all fine and dandy. So you've got those four being gone, five, six being gone, actually, by the time it's all said and done. The only one of your top seven coming back is going to be Julian Hammond. And then Tad's going to be active in the transfer portal. Now, is he going to be a do like Coach Prime does? No, that's not his style. But he's going to go out and get a couple of guys, I think, to kind of fill in some holes there. I think they'll probably look for a big guy. And depending upon what happens with K.J. Simpson, because he can come back, obviously, And but obviously the NBA is going to be calling on him, and so he's going to test the waters and see what that's all about. And if, then if he does not come back, then I'm assuming they'd be looking for a point guard. You know, so it's going to be a different team. And but that's the way it is in pro sports. When free agency hits, a team can get raided and they can lose a bunch of guys. And you know, it's the old line: you cheer for at this point, you cheers for the jersey and not the person in the jersey.
Mark, I think it's funny you brought it up to start the segment, just about how people were going online saying what's happening at CU, what's going on. It doesn't matter how much you and I talk about this or the world talks about this, because we're all talking about NIL. Everyone knows about it, but when they see a group of names in there, and listen, like I said, I was shocked about the Lampkin thing, but what people go to is they go to the negative. Well, what's Tad Boyle doing? And it's like, wait, have you not been listening for the last 3 years? Right. This is what's happening.
Well, that's why the first message I got this morning, oh, my goodness, what is Tad doing? Well, he's doing exactly what he's always done. The world has changed, right? They haven't noticed, apparently, the fact that people are jumping into the portal nonstop. So just take the bit of advice you threw out there a moment ago. Follow a couple of accounts on X that deal with transfer portal and just watch it. It's insane how many guys are jumping into portal. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's wild, Mark. Hey, we're up against a break, my friend. Maybe next week we can look at into some football, chat with you a bit. Always want to pick your brain about what Coach Prime is up to, and we always look forward to that. But I always say Mark's the voice of the Buffs. Now he's the voice of reason. I really believe that. The new T-shirt idea. You know,
at least you're the one person that believes.
Trademark when that goes viral. Okay, Mark?
I like it.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, 12:50 the time. All right, so Mark wasn't shocked. But listen, it's exactly what I said with Lampkin. Somebody liked what he was doing. Not necessarily the basketball stuff, but it was kind of like, yeah, he's an NIL guy. We could get him here. And again, everything I heard in Boulder was that they loved Eddie Lampkin. So would he help put butts in the seats, too? It's a strange time, man. But Mark's adamant about this. He always says this, that it can't go on this way. Do you think it's just going to get – because it's getting worse, right? This is – to date, this is the worst it's been. So it's going to get really bad? Like, how much worse are we talking? How much more awful could this situation be for some of these teams that are just getting gutted?
Following one of those accounts here on Twitter, Verbal Commits, they have over 1,000 names on their list of transfers.
That's just basketball, or is it just 1,000 collegiate athletes?
I want to say it's just collegiate athletes.
Yeah, because football, I don't think you can do it again until
April. After spring ball.
Yeah, they got to get you through spring. So this should be all basketball at this point. And it's primarily going to be men's basketball, because women, we're not seeing it at that high level yet, are we? Not only anything like that.
No, there's probably 5 or 6 women's players that are getting those kind of deals. But mentioned that Arizona, $600,000 minimum. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, good conversation there with Mark. We're going to have Cody Tucker on from 7220sports.com in the 1 o'clock hour. He's with Wyoming, covering Wyoming. And their athletic director had some interesting things to say about NIL and what Jeff Lender needs to do. Basically just said, Jeff Lender needs to find better players. Man, it's easier said than done. We'll be right back.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's always a weird week, too. Like, we go so heavy on March Madness, starting on Thursday last week. And the time in between just feels like, that's right. We're back at it tomorrow. And we've got that $1,000 floating out there for somebody whoever's going to win our bracket challenge. Sorry if you didn't get in, but maybe for next year. But I do want to shout out one of our sponsors that made this possible this year, Summit Spas. Summit Spas in Windsor and Fort Collins. They've been committed to excellence since 2009. You got to check them out. They got this new saltwater hot tub. They're the ultimate experience in health and wellness. Also, inside, fewer chemicals, no harsh smells, and the maintenance is down to simple science. Check out Summit Spas in Windsor and Fort Collins. 12:56 the time. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Cody Tucker. This transfer portal thing is wild. This is more wild than we've ever seen. I think, right? We're at the top of this thing. It's the craziest it's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, as Mark mentioned it, even as far back, as soon as your team is done playing, your four or five guys are in the portal.
Well, and I think the St. Thomas thing was decided, just didn't want to get that out there. I think he did that as being a decent human, of not putting that out there while the Bears were still playing.
Right.
Because he didn't play in their CBI game. So I think, you know, that was decided pretty quickly, Angel. Maybe day after, as soon as the final buzzer hits, he knows where he's going. 12:57 the time. More on that. More. We got buy or sell coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.